Paul shows his great appreciation for God, his deep gratitude in the verses we'll talk about today. After he charges Timothy to refute false teaching and to charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, he tells how thrilled he is that God has accepted him to be a teacher of his word. Great, great privilege. He speaks of his total unqualification, his unworthiness to receive the position that God gives him through the mercy of God, the mercy of grace that is given him. So we want to see this morning the mercy of God in Christ that gives everybody the right to salvation and the service of our God. He says in verse 11, according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul charged Timothy, as we just said, in verse 3, not to allow men to teach a different gospel. And he tells the Galatian brethren in chapter 1, verse 6, he said, I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him who called you in the grace of Christ into a different gospel, which is not another gospel. Only there were some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. There's only one gospel. There's only one good news. There's not a different one. That's the reason he charged Timothy not to let somebody teach anything other than that. He goes on to tell him in verse 5, we're in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. He says the end of the charge is a pure heart, a good conscience, and unfeigned faith. Timothy is to teach sound doctrine, he tells him in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in love and faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is the gospel that comes from our Jesus Christ. It is the only thing in all the world that brings spiritual health to mankind. He says, I thank him that enabled me, even Christ our Lord, for that he counted me faithful, appointing me to his service. I thank him that enabled me. Paul realized that he had a particular job, and for that particular job, God gave him power. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit for the word that God called him into. When Paul, in Acts 9, he meets the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. And he's blinded by the bright light, and he goes into Damascus. And he's there 3 days and three nights, not eating nor drinking, in great repentance for the life he's lived in rejection of Christ. God tells Ananias to go to him, and he tells him in verse 15, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel, and I'll show him how many things he must suffer for my account. Paul understood that all of his power comes from Christ. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace that was given to me was not given to me in vain, for I labored more than they all. Yea, not I, but the grace of God that worked in me. Paul knew his whole life was dependent upon the power of God. Even when he comes to the end of his life, his last writings to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4:17, he says, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered from the mouth of the lion." He knew everything is from God. Every good gift and every spiritual gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance, nor shadow cast with the turning. Of his own will, he saved us by the word of truth. It's all of God. We have nothing to glory in. We, just like Paul, just receive what God gave us. He counted me faithful, appointing me to his servants. Great outburst of praise to Christ, who trusted Paul out of all of his great mercy, knowing that Paul was heavily in sin, just like we. Paul strongly desires his worthiness on all of his part, grateful that Christ Jesus our Lord counts me faithful. He's depending upon the purpose for which he was called. As we already mentioned in Acts 9, he's called for the purpose of Christ to bear his name before the Gentiles, the kings, children of Israel. And God said, "I'll show him how many things he must suffer for my sake." In Galatians 1, he tells us in verse 15, "The good pleasure of God, who separated me, called me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, to reveal unto me his son, that I might proclaim his life, his name among the Gentiles." Paul is just like Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Jehovah says to Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, called you to be my prophet amongst all the nations." God says, Paul is saying here, God did the same thing to him. He knew him. He knew who he was. God has a plan for every one of us. He prepared it all before we were born. Psalms 139, verse 16, he says, "Thou hast seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they are all written, even all the days that are appointed of me, when as yet there were none of them." God has a purpose for our lives, just like he did. God gives everyone the power to do his will in our life, just like he gave to Paul. He says, "Though I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, howbeit I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." He said, "I was," in the English translation. That's not what he said. He said, "I am." That is a present participle. "I am a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious." It is the to be verb. "I am being," is what he said. "I am being those things." Paul was continuously aware of his terrible unworthiness, just like all of us. We are terrible, terribly unworthy. We, as Paul, should be aware of that. It's all God. Everything that's good comes from God. Everything that's on the plus side is because of God. We merit nothing. Our justification is because of the work of God in Jesus Christ on the cross for us. All of our justification is the work of God. We have no merit in everything, in anything we do. Paul said in Galatians 1:13, he says, "You know my manner of life in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of Christ and made the church of God and made havoc of it." Paul said, "I'm totally unworthy. I made havoc of the church of Christ." He tells Agrippa in chapter 26 of Acts, starting in 9 through 11. He said he thought that he needed to do many things against Jesus of Nazareth. And he talks about how he drugged people out, committed them to prison. He went to foreign nations. He committed them to death in Acts 7. At the end of Acts 7, we know Stephen was stoned to death. And in chapter 8, verse 1 says, Saul was consenting to his death. In verse 3 of that same chapter, says Saul laid waste the church. He entered into every house, dragging men and women and committing them to prison. He considered Christianity to be an apostate state of the Jewish religion, and he determined to destroy it. He said, "Howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." He stands before the Sanhedrin. In Acts 23 and verse 1, he said he stared steadfastly at the council and he said, "I have lived my life in a good conscience," all of his life. He did those things in ignorance. Ignorance does not forgive sins. But ignorance does open the door to God's mercy upon our repentance. When we change our mind, when we turn to God, He saves us even in our ignorance. We're all ignorant. People don't like to be told they're ignorant. Well, we're all ignorant. Ignorance is the lack of education. We all lack education. God said to know God. How do you know God? But He calls us to know God. We, like Paul, are in our ignorance. Jesus on the cross says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Ignorance is to be brought to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's only God's great mercy that one could be saved. In Titus 3, verse 2 and 3, he talks about our terrible sinfulness. And when he gets to verse 4, he says, "But," beautiful word, "but." "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love towards man appeared, not in works of righteousness which we did, but according to His own mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out on us richly in Christ Jesus." It's all His mercy, all of His grace. He poured it out on us. Romans 10, Paul speaks of the ignorance of the Israelite nations. He said, "I bear," in verse 2, he said, "I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul tells of himself. He said, I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God. Paul had a terrible zeal for God. He was busy. He was traveling to foreign countries to persecute people thinking he was serving God. And he was doing it in ignorance. I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And being ignorant of the righteousness of God, seeking to establish their own. Paul was seeking to establish his own. He thought by law keeping, he could justify himself, which he tells us in Romans, no man can be justified by law keeping. We all fall way short. We cannot keep the law. We'd have to keep it perfectly, and no man does that. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even the Jews, in all their sacrificial system, the blood that flowed from the altars of thousands and thousands of animals sacrificed, not a one of those animals forgave sins. Even the Jews, when Christ came, should have understood the mystery that they didn't know. God said, you offer those sacrifices, I'll forgive you. The blood of bulls and goats cannot forgive sins. How were they forgiven? They were forgiven by the weight of the blood of Christ, which God foreknew. He tells you, 1 Peter tells you, chapter 1:18, knowing that you're redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood of his son, as of a lamb without blemish, even the blood of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, revealed at these last times for our sake. God knew before creation that Christ died for the ungodly. That's a mystery throughout the Old Testament, how God was forgiven sin. But when Jesus appeared on the earth, the people above all people should have known who Jesus was when he came. He fulfilled every prophecy. And they, in their ignorance, actually their determined ignorance, they failed to see the Christ. When he died on the cross, they should have known. Any man, every man, from Adam to those of us today, if any man is forgiven, it's on the basis of the blood of Christ. Amen. There is no other means of salvation. And the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Says, and the grace of our Lord. It probably the word day in the original language can be translated and, but, or but, and probably be better translated but here. But the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly. The grace abounded exceedingly. The only basis of our salvation, as was read by Hard a while ago, by grace were you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God, not of works that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. By grace alone are you saved through faith. As we read a while ago in Titus, when the goodness of God appeared, our Savior, and His great love towards man, not in works done in righteousness which we did, but according to His own mercy, He saved us. It's all of God. We need to understand clearly, it's all God. It's all Jesus Christ. We are the recipients of everything God did from creation till now to save mankind from our terrible wickedness. He said that grace abounded exceedingly. In Romans 5, he says the law came in besides to make the trespass abound, but where sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly. Even in all of our wickedness, the law came in to show us how wicked we are. In all of that, grace abounds more exceedingly. The grace of God saves mankind exceedingly. It's beyond what is needed. In all superabundance of grace was found with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. From unbelief to faith in the only one that can save fallen mankind. No other place can man. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. We are totally dependent upon our Lord. Apart from Christ, there are no spiritual blessings. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything is in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy begat us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything is in Jesus. As Psalm 16, verse 2 says, my soul cried unto Jehovah, thou art my Lord, I have no good beyond thee. There is no good beyond our Lord Jesus. There is no good outside of God, no good outside of Jesus. There's no blessings, spiritual blessings, no eternal blessings outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no eternal hope outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We know 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And the greatest lover that ever lived, is our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no lover that can compare. Our fathers and mothers love our children. Our children love our fathers and mothers. We don't even understand love. Our God loves us so much that we can't even grasp it. He not only called us into salvation, He called us, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, by the gospel to what? Unto the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about mercy and grace. From our wicked sinfulness, He calls us and gives us the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ far above anything we can even comprehend. We can't grasp the glory of Jesus. And he said, I'm calling you to have part in that glory. It's amazing. It's beyond amazing. It's beyond the human mind to grasp what God has done for us. Even in all of our wickedness. And this drove Paul to the understanding. He says in Romans 1:14, he said, I am debtor to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise and the foolish, so much as in me is. I am ready to preach the gospel to those that are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein a righteousness of God has been revealed from faith unto faith. And he quotes Hebrews 2:4, for it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. He understood from where he came and to where God put him. It made him a debtor to all men. And Paul is no different from all of us. We accept the mercy and the grace of God makes us a debtor to all men who do not understand that. Faithful is a saying worthy of all acceptation. And Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Faithful is a saying. The word saying is from the word hologos, which is the word or doctrine. Faithful is the doctrine. Faithful is the word. Worthy of all acceptation. The same word is used, hologos, is the same word used for Jesus in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and that life is the light of all mankind. Jesus is everything. Jesus is the logos of this world. It is worthy, therefore, of all acceptation. All men, everywhere, every nation, every age needs Jesus, because all men are sinners and all sinners need a Savior. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 tells us. And verse 26 tells us the wages of sin is death. The free gift of life is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Only in Jesus do we find mercy and grace to save mankind. Jesus died for all. He didn't just die for those that believe. He died for all. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, talking about prayer, he says, this is pleasing to God, who would have all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one mediator, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, himself, man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. He says in Titus 2 verse 11, for the grace of God's appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Every man has the right to salvation. No person is left out. 1 John 2 verse 1 says, my little children, these things write unto you that you might know that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the whole world. The price of every man's sin in this world has been totally paid for. Completely, totally. There's no excuse for anyone paying for his own sins. Jesus already did it. You talk about ignorance. It takes the height of ignorance to deny that Jesus. You can't get more ignorant than that. Knowing that outside of Jesus, there's only fear and terror and a waiting for an eternity in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. In Jesus is everything beautiful. There is no excuse for not coming to our Lord Jesus. He's paid for everything. His mercy and His grace covers everything. And Paul says He came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. Not only did He come to save sinners, that statement tells us of His pre-existence. Our Lord Jesus is eternal. He is God. As Chuck was talking about before the Lord's Supper today, our Jesus did things we can't even imagine. He, in His great love, He laid aside everything for sinners. He tells Zacharias He came into this world to save sinners. Try to grasp what Jesus did. The Creator, who had the power to speak this whole universe into existence, laid aside all that, as Chuck mentioned in Philippians 2, verse 6 and following. Laid it all aside. The Creator became the creature. The Omnipotent One, who could create this whole world, became a helpless baby, dependent upon His mother for everything. The Omniscient One became a baby that has to begin to grow in knowledge and understanding. The Omnipresent One has now restricted Himself to one place at any one time. We can't imagine what Jesus gave to save our souls. And that's even before we get to the cross. We can't imagine. We've never been a creator. We've never been omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So we don't even understand all that He gave, even before He got to the cross. And He did it all. It's no wonder Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul said, I am chief. In the original language, that uses the emphatic form of I. I myself am chief. As I said before, where it says, I was a blasphemer, he says, really in the Greek language, he says, I am a blasphemer. Here he said, I am chief. I am being chief. No matter what any man thinks, we get all kinds of excuses. I'm such a sinner, God wouldn't accept me. Listen, I don't care how evil you are, you can only be second. Because Paul is chief. He says, I am protos. That means the number one, the chief, the greatest of sinners. Paul said, that's me. We're out of time. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me as chief might Christ show forth his long suffering for an example to them that should thereafter believe unto eternal life. Our Lord Jesus, I want us all to understand, if you get anything from this lesson, Jesus is everything. Outside of Jesus, there's nothing. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Paul's doxology, the word doxology means a hymn of praise to God. In all that Paul sees, all these truths he's talking about, it just busts his chest. He just has to give glory to God. And that should be the reaction of all of us who's received salvation. Our salvation is on the mercy and the grace of God. We are saved to do good works. There's no good works that can save us. He saves us. And that should bring us to a glory to God that we couldn't be stopped from doing good works. God, our Lord Jesus, proved their willingness to give everything to save mankind. We've talked about ignorance, and I've talked about ignorance. Don't be ignorant. Come to know Christ. He says in Romans 8, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us, how shall he not freely with him give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the God of to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Jesus that died, yea, rather rose from the dead, is the right hand of God to make intercession for us. God does everything. Jesus does everything to not only to save us, but to keep us saved. If you're not in Christ, you've missed the whole purpose of life. We live in this life for one purpose, and that's to meet our God. If you need to come to him, don't put it off. Come to him now. We're going to stand and sing. Come forward and receive the mercy and the grace of our God.